Good evening, gentlemen. We continue in Maseches Makis. We are on Daf Hey Amid Aleph at the very top, the second line. Hey Amid Aleph. You got to turn a little bit more, Michael. In the Art Scroll, it's page 5A1. 5A1. Left-hand side of the page. Who's on this side? Henry?
Henry. Yeah, he's here.
Okay. So what? All right. The one thing that's good about this Masechta, you don't go more than a half an hour, there's another Mishnah. So if you miss, you can start fresh, you know. So even if you didn't come till now, it's like you could start fresh right over here, because we'll see whether we catch up. So hopefully this week, if with God's help, if we have a little good push, we can make it all the way to the bottom of Vav Amid Aleph. And that will get to, and then Shavuos night, we could do one lot and finish the perek, and then we could do Chazar Shavuos night. Or unless you want to do something else, you let me know. But anyway, Hey Amid Aleph, the Mishnah says, it's already a Mishnah that was brought down earlier. Mishal Shin B'Momen, when we prove the Adim Zomamim, the lying witnesses, we prove that they are liars, and they lied in a case of monetary issues. So what do we say? Mishalshin, we divide up what they have to pay. The Mishnah is going to explain it in 1 minute. Vei mishalshin b'makas. We don't divide up if the punishment is makas. Ketzad. So let's have an example. Heiduhu shehu chayiv l'chaver masayim zuz. Let's say these guys falsely testify that this fellow owes his friend 200 zuz. V'nim zuzom. And we find out that these guys are lying witnesses. So now what do they do? Mishalshin b'nem. They divide up between them the payment of the 200 zuz. So if it's two witnesses, each one pays 100. They don't each pay 200. They each pay 100. So we divide up the monetary payment they have to make. Aval im heidu shu chayiv malchus arboim. But what if they testify that this guy did a crime, such as, let's say, eating treif, which requires getting lashed 40 times, and then v'nimtzu zomamim, and then you find out that they're false witnesses, or if you want to use fancy English, they were zomified. Okay? All right? Zomified. I think that's or zomamified. Anyway, so halacha is called echad ve'echad loka arba'im. Each of the two is lashed 40 times. I'm sorry. It's not like they divide up the lashes. This one takes 20 and this one takes 20, but each one takes 40. Now the Gemara is going to try to explain why. Minani mili. So how do we know this? That in the case of lashes, everybody gets 40 lashes. You don't divide it up. So Gemara makes Xavier Shavah compares two psukim in the Torah. It says in the end of the book of Dvarim, it says if there's a famous puzzle we had many times already. If there's a fight, an argument between two people, and we go to the court and they justify the justified guy and they make wicked the wicked guy, and we already explained that means we prove the Adim Zomim or Zomimim. It's a hint to that, remember? Mm-hmm. So then the pasuk goes on and says, and if you understand that, im bin hakos harosha, if you understand, then you lash the rasha. You lash the rasha. So that's one pasuk. We call the guy a rasha. So Amar Abaye, nemar rasha b'chayve malchus. They mention, they call the guilty guy a rasha. When we talk about giving lashes, and then when it talks about giving up death penalty, in Nemar it says as well, Russia b'chayv emises bezdin. It calls a person a Russia when they decide to give him the death penalty. Now, so why are we calling, you know, there's lots of words you can call a guy. You can call him an Ish, you can call him a lot of names. We're calling him a Russia. And we're calling him Russia for, when they're talking about lashes, we're talking about Russia when you give a death penalty. So why are we using that to teach us that there's similarities between the Russia of lashes and the Russia of death penalty? And what is that? Well, let's figure it out. Can you give somebody half a death penalty?
No.
Beat him half
to
death.
That's not a half penalty.
That's half the lashes.
So Mala Holland, just look over there, Ein Misal Mechsa. There's no such thing as death that's half. If you give death, it's the whole thing. Zafkan and Ein Malkus Lamechsa. There's no such thing as lashes for the half point. In other words, the idea being, death is only death if you give the whole thing. Right? That's what it is. Lashes is only lashes if you give the full amount. the full amount of lashes. If you give two guys 20 lashes, it's not like together it's a full set of lashes.
Yeah.
It's they got half lashes. You know, it's lashes. The pain grows exponentially. You know, right. The first one, the second one is much more than the first. The third much more than the first two. Right. So when you're past 20, man, every lash they don't make the lashes any lighter.
Right.
The lash is just as hard. The body's been weakened more and more, so it intensifies each lash. So if a half a lashes isn't even half a lashes.
Isn't the other aspect that you
give the whole thing. So therefore, when if we want to give them what they should be getting, you have to give a full amount. So just like by death, it has to be full, or it's not death, or better yet, death, if it's not full, it's not a kapara. So lashes isn't a kapara, isn't an atonement unless it's full. So therefore, there could be no such thing as half lashes.
I mean, to strengthen that, don't you give them the number of lashes that would bring them just before death?
Yeah, so right. Generally we say 40 is the amount. If they're very sickly, we give them less, but still it's the full amount for them.
Yeah, that's my point. So if you gave them less, it wouldn't be the full amount for them.
That's right, exactly. So that's why no such thing as that. So that's one answer. That's a bias answer. That's an answer by using psukim and showing how the psukim explains to you there's no half concept in these things. Rava gives us a different answer. Rava Amar Be'inan, let's go back to what the pasuk says by Eidim Zomamim. It says, "Kasher zomam la sos leachiv," as they planned, they plotted to do to their brother. Okay, so what did they plan to do to their brother with lashes? What did they plan to do to their brother when they said he ate treif? What were they planning to give him? 40 lashes. How many lashes do they want to give him? 40. So you do to them what they plan to do to him. Velekev, you only give half, and that isn't what they plan to do to the guy. So you have to give them exactly what they planned. Each one planned. I, the Gemara, asked the Yahachi, if so, Mama Nami, what about money? They each one should pay 200.
Yeah.
Says, no, Mamon meets Starif. Mamon, money combines. And the guy will get that which they wanted to make him lose. Malkus lo mit Starif. But lashes doesn't get combined. It's an interesting svara. They're saying you have to give them what they want to give the guy. So they want to lash the guy, then each one has to get a full lash. They want to make the guy lose, so you got to give him everything that he was supposed to have lost.
Yeah.
Right? That can be combined. If you give the guy 200, the guy gets exactly, you know, you guys lost what you wanted to give him. You want to take away from him, rather. You want him to lose 200, so between the two of you, he's got to lose 200.
Yeah.
You two got to lose 200.
Yeah, I guess.
So they do lose the 200. And the guy gets the 200 from them also, mind you. He's going to get 200. So not only you didn't take away 200, he gets the full 200, the opposite effect.
Yeah, but he shouldn't get
40. That can work with money. But with lashes, they wanted to give the guy 40 lashes. If you give each one 20, it doesn't fit.
Right.
You can't, well, each one together is 40. But we said, that's all we say, it doesn't combine.
You have 10 guys.
20 and 20 in Jewish accounting does not equal 40. 40
guys get 1.
Does not equal 40. Do you understand?
Yeah.
20 to him and 20 is not like one guy getting 40.
It's like a Jewish accounting.
No, it's like the same. This is the famous vort they say. The famous Litvisha vort, you know, they say about Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Akiva was away from home for 12 years. So he was gonna come back. So he comes back, he's ready to come into the house, but he's looking outside the window, he sees his wife is talking to a friend, and the friend is saying, what kind of husband do you have? He left you for 12 years, he's a no good nick, he's a this or that, I would leave such a husband. So the wife doesn't know Rabbi Akiva's listening, wife says, you know what, if it was up to me, I'd have him go for another 12 years. So Rabbi Akiva heard that, he didn't even say hello to his wife, he went back right away for 12 years. So ask the famous, the Veltz Kasha, everyone asks, wait a minute, you already came all the way home, you're by the door, just go in, say hello, give your wife a hug, have a glass of tea with her, spend 20 minutes with her, and then go back. What kind of derecher is this?
24 years straight.
So the famous answer is, I remember in Yiddish, my Rosh Shiva Zatzal, he said, 12 is nit 24. 12 and 12 does not equal 24. In other words, if you already make that break, and you get a call that it's not 24 anymore. It's a real Litvish word. It's not a Hasidic word. It's a Litvish word. You could ask questions on it. But 12 and 12 is not 24. A guy goes 24 years straight. It's the difference of 12 and 12. Same thing with lashes.
Right.
20 and 20 is not 40.
He
The full 40 is the full 40. What? Money, okay, and money, 100 and 100 is 200. Dealing with money, it's one thing. But more of a spiritual type of a thing, addition doesn't work.
24 years is harder than 12 years and 12 years?
You gain
it's
more.
Worth more.
If you have 12 years with a break and 12 years with a break, the growth will not be the same as 24 years straight. That's the point. Okay, think of it. It's the kind of words you got to think about.
The whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
Yes. Okay, we already went from mission to mission in one evening.
I have a question.
That's your first question.
We're keeping tabs.
It seems like that, you know,
see, Paul's clever. He makes comments.
Oh, Rabbi got wise to me.
Yeah, I know, Rabbi.
When they say that in the case of Malchus, they don't divide it, and then they say how so, and then they go and explain it. Is it not self-explanatory that they have to go on and explain for the few lines?
What do you mean? It's not so self-explanatory. How do you know? Maybe you get half and half. Why not half and half?
Listen, 10 guys, Rabbi, conspire.
But why? What's the svara? What's the svara? What's the proof from the Torah? What's the svara? I would say give each guy half. And money is the same as lashes.
What if there's 10 guys? Four each?
And you would. Now let's say 10 guys testified and each pay $20.
No, I'm talking about 24 lashes. Yeah,
well, it takes a lot of risk. Where the problem. People can take a lot of risk out of themselves.
Yeah. Right. So therefore, he has to bring you a pasuk. The pasuk says, by money, half is not whole. That's the whole point. Death, half a death is not a half a death. No such thing as half lashes. Mm-hmm. No such thing as half. Doesn't exist half lashes in Jewish.
There's no punishment on the books.
In the courts. There's no such thing as a half lash. The first answer is saying there's no such thing as half lashes. The second one is saying, We give to them like they wanted to give to him. They want to give him 40 lashes. We have to give each guy 40 lashes. Alright, then comes the question. Then why are you paying 100 and 100? So that we're saying, because together they would have made the guy lose the 200, and together he's getting the 200 from them.
Different concepts.
Okay, moving on to the next Mishnah.
Makes sense.
Are we doing the Gemara?
We did the Gemara. Okay. Mishnah, I'm going to go to the bottom of the page. That's my goal.
Keep your eye on the ball there.
Here's Hashem. Mishnah, Ein ha'edim nasim zomimim ad shiazimu es atzmon. Edim zomimim do not become zomified until the zomification is upon themselves. Now, what does that mean? So now the Mishnah is going to explain to you. What's going to happen now, the Mishnah is going to explain the difference between Edi ha'chachosha, contradictory witnesses, and Edim zom. It's a very fundamental principle in Hazoma coming up here. Kate said, give us an example. Amru, the liar, said like this: Me'idim anu be'ish ploni shaharig es hanefesh. They come to court and say, we testify, the two of us, that A killed B. Now a second group of witnesses come. Amru lehem. It's another group of witnesses saying, Hechatem me'idim, how could you testify? Shaharei nerag zeh, because we know that the guy, the victim, o hahorig, or the murderer zeh, hoyimanu lehem, they were with us that day, but more complaint in such and such place. That case, ain elu zomim. They are not zomim. Why? In other words, the first two witnesses, who are the liars, they say, A killed B in Toronto on Sunday. So the other guy says, I don't know what you're talking about. All I know is one thing. A was in Chicago on Sunday. And we know that we're in Chicago with him. That is not Adim zomim. That is Adim who are contradicting their testimony, but not saying that they are inherently liars. Because whenever you have conflicting witnesses, you know, one sees it one way, one sees it another way. That's conflicting witnesses. So why you believe one more than the other? A said we saw A, the first group said we saw A kill B in Toronto, and the second witness said we saw A in Chicago.
Yeah.
Well, don't you ever have cases in where one set of witnesses saw one thing, and one set of witnesses saw the other? That's good old-fashioned A de hachachosha. Conflicting witnesses. When you have conflicting witnesses, basically we throw out the case. But we can't assume that any of the two pairs are liars. You know, they could be mistaken. There's nothing inherently to show that, and that's the idea that to be an Eid Zomim, they have to essentially be proved liars. What does that mean? You're going to see the next case is what is Eid Zomim, and you see it's juxtaposed to this. But, Amr Lahem, but if the second set of witnesses says, Hey, how could you testify? Sheratem ha'yisim amanu osa yom vokam ploni. You witnesses, you weren't in Toronto on Sunday, you were with us in Chicago. They are now contradicting the witnesses, the not the testimony. Harei elu zomim, they are zomim, v'nergam pim, and killed by their mouths. The essential difference is, let's explain again.
That makes sense.
You can have conflicting witnesses is one thing, and the one witnesses who are now challenging the witnesses' credibility themselves.
Right.
The one thing is, we saw it one way, you saw it another way. That's conflicting. But if you said you're in Toronto, but we saw you are not in Toronto.
Totally discredits.
All right? So that is saying you're totally liars. It's not like, well, you saw it one way, you said you saw it, but you couldn't even have seen anything.
But
you weren't there.
That's
the Torah's Chiddush.
Yeah, two witnesses.
It's a Chiddush of the Torah. The two witnesses are essentially testifying on these guys. There's the difference. In the first case, where the conflict is, the second set of witnesses are not testifying on the first set of witnesses. They're arguing with the first set of witnesses. You say this, we say this. But here, the second set, they're testifying on the first set of witnesses. They're not testifying about the evidence, they're testifying on you guys. What's the difference? Let's take it simply. How can we believe the first set of witnesses to say that A killed B in a certain place? You know what? The Torah has a rule. According to two witnesses, we make the law. There's such a law. You know, you're going to say, it's crazy law. No, God says if there are two kosher Jews, we assume them to be kosher Jews, two people say, A killed B, we go and kill A.
Well, isn't that what you have?
How can you do that? Because the Torah says two witnesses say something, you believe them. So now, if two witnesses say that the first set were with them, what are they saying? They're testifying on the witnesses,
right.
And the old rule of two witnesses testifying on somebody goes into effect. On the other hand, when the first witness said A killed B in Toronto, and B says, well, I'll tell you one thing, A was in Chicago with us on that day.
No, Rabbi,
nothing about the witnesses.
They aren't testifying against the witnesses.
Right.
They're giving their own testimony.
Right.
They're testifying, well, you know what? We know that A was in Chicago. And so this one testifies this way. This one testifies the other way.
So then,
hung jury. Nothing you could do. But no witness is testifying against the witness. You only can testify against a witness when you say, I saw you weren't there. So now it's two witnesses testifying against two witnesses saying, you are liars. How do we know? Because you were here. We're testifying you were in another city. That's good old-fashioned two witnesses. You understand the difference over here? Conflicting testimony. You can have that all the time. In other words, when the second set said they were in Chicago. So the judge said, are you saying the first pair are liars? So we're not saying, we don't know anything about the first pair. We don't know anything about the first pair. We have nothing to say about the first pair. We know one thing. A was in Chicago. Finished. And that's in any case. Two people say he owes him $200. Two people say he doesn't owe him $200. So what do you do? We throw out all the evidence. There's no evidence. Here they're testifying on the Eidim Zomim. And that's what the first line of the Mishnah said. Let's review that first line. Ein ha'edim nasim zomim. They don't become zomified. Ad sheyazimu es atzmam. Until they become zomimed. Their essence becomes zomim. The people are questioning their credibility as witnesses, not questioning their testimony, or giving conflicting testimony. It's a very fine difference.
Yeah.
That's what the Mishnah is teaching us about Eidim Zomim. Hmm. And therefore, that they can get them killed. Because there's no, those witnesses said, you were with us. What are they saying? You are liars. That's testifying that they are liars.
And only if they brought two other witnesses that said, we weren't there, we were
here. Then that would be another story. Then if two other witnesses would come, no, we saw them with us in Toronto,
yeah.
Then it'd be two conflicting witnesses.
Then you throw
witnesses
that case
there.
Out.
Then you throw that, okay, it's not, right. So now comes another interesting case.
That wasn't a question.
The last case of the Mishnah.
That's what you think.
Where am I now? Bring up here. Now, let's pick up the case. Let's say first set of witnesses testify A killed B. Second set of witnesses, you were not there. Don't tell us this, you were not there. Now, a third set of witnesses come and say that A killed B in Toronto. In other words, they're saying the same thing the first set of witnesses said. And then what's going to happen, that same group two, who zomified group one, they now zomified group three. And they say, you weren't in Toronto either. You was also in Chicago.
Okay.
All right? So it says, where am I now? So, Boachem, let's say another group, a second set of witnesses, or really a third set now, and they come, and now the second set zomifies the third set. And let's say Bochem, let's say a fourth set comes. Vezima, and the second set again goes back and zomifies the fourth set. A few may even 100 sets of witnesses. Let's go simple. You know, two guys come in and say A killed B. So there's another set, you couldn't be with us. You were with us in the Shriners Convention in Chicago that day. Okay? Then another two guys say A killed B. Say, you know, you're also with us at the Shriners Convention. Another two guys said it. And they can even 100, they can knock off 100 witnesses. Say, you're all with us at the Shriners Convention. The law is, they're all knocked off. But, Filumea, Kulam Yarogu, and you kill them all.
Right.
Kill them all. Because they are showing that 100 guys were liars in and of themselves. It's a theoretical case, obviously. But why should there be a difference if it's one set or 50 set?
So
when they got 100 guys on one side, two guys on the other side.
It's not a question of side. They're saying you each one weren't is a separate case in Toronto. You two guys want to kill this guy, right? Doesn't matter. Let's not say even better. Let's say 100 guys come at one time. If you want, 100 guys can testify also together. 100 guys testify together and say, you know, the guy killed, and say, what are you guys, a bunch of liars? All 100 of you, we were at the Shriners Convention.
Right.
So
you're going to believe two guys over 100 guys.
Doesn't matter.
Because what are they doing? They now obviously, if they're really lying, somebody else is going to come and prove this one pair wrong. Right?
But nobody can, according to this.
Well, no. Somebody else comes and say, what are you talking about? These guys were in Toronto with us.
Right. Remember,
if these guys are lying, they're playing a very dangerous game, because all you have to do is prove the first set of witnesses were in Toronto.
Yeah.
You know, let's take it a step further. If the second set discredits the first set, right? If a third set will prove that the second set were liars, then the second set could get killed. You know,
wouldn't that be just one word against?
Well, how could you testify about them? You were with us. So,
I see.
You can't play this game and think you can get away with anything. You have to say something that you can really get caught. That's the whole idea. There's no such thing. A testimony that cannot be proven wrong is not considered testimony according to Jewish law.
So can I use one of my questions?
Yes.
Your last one, you mean?
if another set comes and of Adam come, and they can't be discredited by the second set of witnesses.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Then does that affect the first set of witnesses that were discredited?
Okay.
Do you understand the case? So you have this first set.
Let's put it to the side. We won't count it as a question. Right. Okay. It's just going to take us off.
Right.
Just let it go.
Okay.
Let it go.
Thank you.
It's going to confuse everybody.
Right. My question just got saved, so I'm moving.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now, so this is the opinion of the Anakama. Reb Yehuda Omer, not so fast. You're not going to kill them all. Istati Sizu. There's something funny going on over here. Okay, this is a strange testimony, because it seems that these two guys are in cahoots, and they're just saying, you know what, we're just going to make sure this guy doesn't die today. V'zehu. But, interestingly enough, and this will be discussed tomorrow, this next point, v'enu nereg elakat rishon bovad, and the only ones who get killed is the first pair. In other words, if they discredit 50 pairs, one after another, says Rabbi Yehuda, only kill the first pair. So obviously, Gemara on the next page is going to discuss, what are you talking about? If you think these guys are schemers, you don't kill anybody. Right? How come only the first pair gets killed? That's going to be tomorrow's class, maybe. But that's the obvious question. But there is a machlokas. Can one group discredit 50 pairs? And Tanakama says they could. And the other one says, no, you only can't discredit anybody except for the first pair. Okay, that is going to be for tomorrow's. Now we come back to the main part of the Mishnah, as the Gemara will now elaborate. So the first thing is, the Mishnah made a statement that Edim are only Zomim if their essential aspect is Zomified. Right? That was the main point over here. So now Gemara just gives a very two-line simple thing. You really have to be a greater master of the Hebrew language to appreciate the subtleties over here. But the Gemara asks, Minahani Mili, how do we know this? How do you know that they essentially have to be zomified as opposed to something else? So two different psukim are brought. Amar Rav Ada says to Amar Kra, because the Torah says, when it mentions the case of Edim Zomim, it says, V'hine eid sheker ha'eid sheker ino. The Torah says, when the judges, it talks about this case of Edim Zomim, and it says two guys come and they say what they say, and then the judges look into it well, and the pasuk says, "Vinei eight sheker ha eight sheker." I'm sorry. Vinei eight sheker ha eight. The false witness, the witness is a false witness. So, like, there's a lot of extra words there. The witness is a false witness. What are they saying? It's that the witness is false, not his testimony. In other words, you have to say, it's the aid, vihinei, aid, sheker, ha'aid. The witness is an aid sheker. Now we say, and behold, his testimony is conflicted with. So you have to make the aid an aid sheker. So it's gotta be on him, it's gotta be personal to them. That's his proof. And then he brings us the rest of the pasuk, you know. So it says, Achit, the more it elaborates, Achit to shaker gufa shaledus, until the essential testimony is proven false, then he becomes an eid zomim. If they're just arguing, and they say the victim was somewhere else, they're not disproving the witnesses, they're just giving different testimony. That is Ravada, his answer. Devei Rabbi Yishmol, in the college of Rabbi Yishmol, Tana, the Yeshiva Yishmol, they taught, it says in the next few words of that pasuk, it says, La'anos bo sora. It says, where is that again? That in the two pesukim before, it says, should false witnesses come, La'anos bo sora, to respond in a way that like turns away. That turns away. So what does that mean? So I explain, Ad shetisra gufa shaledus, until the testimony, essential testimony is turned away. Only when you turn away the testimony, meaning that which they say, is it discredited. Okay, so those are two different proofs. Fine, let's go on. It's not too exciting. Omar Rava. Now, Rava now gives, we play a number of series of cases to say, is this exactly Edom Zomim? Is this not exactly Edom Zomim? The Gemara says, well, it seems obvious, maybe it's not obvious, but four or five scenarios coming up now. Omar Rava. Bo Shnaim, two people come, for Umr, and they say, B'mizrach bira horak, on the east side of the palace, A killed B. We saw A killed B on the east side of the palace. Again, Umr b'mizrach bira horak ploni es hanefesh. This guy killed this guy. Then what happens? Uboshaim, another two witnesses come and say, V'amru, V'alo b'marav bira imanu hayisam. At that time, you were with us on the west side of the palace. So how can you testify about the east side of the palace? You were with us at the same time on the west side. It must have been a big palace, whatever. You're on the west wing. You're in the west wing. So now the question is, does this make them Edom Zomim or not?
Sounds like it.
You think so. So now Rava explains, Chaisina, let's take a look. Let's go out to the west wing, and let's take a look if we can see the east wing from the west wing. Chaisina, ikid ekaim imaref, if when we stand in the west wing of the bira, of the palace, Michsa Chazu, do we see Lemizrach Bira? Do we see the east side of the wing? Right? So if we can see on the west side, the east side, Ein Elo Zomim, they're not Zomim. Vimla, but if it's not so, we're standing in the west and we don't see what's going on in the east. Hare Elo Zomim, they are Zomim.
I don't understand why that matters, because they said they were with us in the west wing. What does it matter if you can see them or not in the east wing?
No, because if they're with you in the west wing and you can still see it, you haven't made them Zomim.
You said you were with us on the west side.
Fine. But I could see, from the west, I could see the east. The testimony was, we saw A kill B in the east wing. So these guys said, well, you were with us in the west wing. So that doesn't mean they're aiding Zomimim. Let's see if they can see. If you could see from the west to the east, how does that make him aiding Zomimim?
Right.
You have to say you're in Toronto, you're in Chicago. You can't see who's going to Toronto, you're in Chicago. So if you say the west wing, you can't see who's in the east wing. Well, let's just get like, we'll take the whole court, we'll go to the west wing. Okay, now where's the east wing? Can we see the east wing from the west wing? So you might be thinking the Morris question. Morris says, Pshita, well, that's obvious. You don't need a Gemara to tell me that. If I would have asked you guys this, you'd give this answer. Mm-hmm. So what's the insight to say this law? Well, it's like this. Let's think these guys have really good vision. Remember, this is the day before glasses and all this stuff. You know, and maybe these guys have better vision. You know, the best thing comes to say, well, it's too far for me to see. Huh? Well, listen, we have better vision. Now, how can you disprove that? Right? You guys can't see. Now, of course, obviously, if there's massive obstructions.
I thought it was too much of a tepid building.
No. It's like, obviously, we're speaking where it's not massive obstructions. If there's an obstruction, for sure you can't see from the west to the east. But let's say it's a distance. So if it's too far to see anything clearly, so the Gemara is saying, well, it could be all the judges are going to come, but they say, you know, it's very fuzzy to the east wing. Well, these guys say, well, too bad. You got 20/20, we have 10/20. There are people who have better than 20/20 vision. So we have very good vision. And go prove us wrong.
You just hold up a sign and say, can you read it from one side to the other?
Well, anyway, so they said, so I might think that these guys could claim and say we have supervision. Kamash Malon, the Chiddush is no. If the Bezin says you can't see, you can't see. Now that's a Chiddush. We'll kill these guys over that fact. The Bezin says we don't see it, then that's Salacha, we don't see it. Now that is an insight. Next case. Rama Rava Rava says, Bo Shnaim V'Amru, Besura, B'Tzafra, B'Chad, B'Shapsa, Horeg, Plonius, and Ephesh. In the city of Sura, in the morning, on Sunday, so-and-so killed so-and-so. What's all the information now? It's a Sunday morning, in Sura, right? That's the three pieces of information. Sunday, morning, Sura. Three pieces of information.
Name of the place?
Name of the city. We saw A kill B. Ubo Shnaim, and then other witnesses come and discredit the first witness by saying, Vermu, no, Bepanya, in the night, Bechad, Beshab, Seimona, Yusin, Benardoi. You were the Sunday night in Nahardoi. So now what are they saying? You were in a different city, same day, but in the same, different time.
So how long does it take to travel?
So now what would you say without looking ahead? How long does it take to travel? And that's exactly what they say. They say, Chazina, let's take a look. If from the morning to the night, you can travel from Surah to Nahardoi, then they'll have Yizomim, they're not Zomimim. But if they can't travel from Surah to Nahardoi, have Yizomim, they're Zomimim. So that's pretty straightforward. Gemara asks the same question. Pshita, isn't that obvious? Gemara says, no, it's not so obvious. Because how are they going to know that? The Bezin's going to take a horse, face, or a camel, whatever. They're going to go, okay, let's just
time it.
Time it. But wait, Mom said, I might think, maybe that flying camels, meaning to say, swift camels. You know, you guys, your camels can't do it. Maybe they had a souped up camel, and they, you know, we're Mamish, unbelievable camels. They won the Kentucky Camel Derby, you know, and they're amazing camels. Where are they now? They died.
The triple hump.
So you might think we couldn't kill them because there's a shred of doubt. Kamash Malon comes to Chiddush and says, no siri, we killed them. Once the Bezin decided that, we killed them. Okay, now my finger lost the place. Very important to keep your finger in the place here. One second.
Three lines down. The first word is
parach. Okay. Ve'amar Rava. Okay, another halacha of Rava. Right? It's not hard Gemara.
Well, Kamash Malam means again.
Kamash Malam, it comes to let us know. It means to say the Chiddush is Ka. It's like it, Mashma, implies long to us. Meaning it tells us this insight. Okay, Ve'amar Rava. Rava says the following. Bo Shnaim, two witnesses come, for Amr they say, Bechad, Beshav, Sahorek, Plonius, and Nefesh, so-and-so killed so-and-so on Sunday, Ubo, Shnaim, and two witnesses come, V'amru, Imanu, Hayisim, Bechad, Beshabsa. You were with us in another city on Sunday. You could not have seen this. But they add one more point. Ela betray Beshabsa, Horek, Plodius, and Nefesh. But the guy that you said A killed B on Sunday, well, we saw A killed B on Monday. It's coming similar to that question you were asking before. Yeah. In other words, the second set say, you said A killed B on Sunday in Toronto. That's not possible. You were with us in Chicago. But I want you to know that A did kill B on Monday in Toronto. So now what is exactly happening here? They are making the guys Adam Zomim on the one end, but really they're going to make the guy, and what's going to happen is the guy's going to get killed.
Yeah.
So that what did the Adam Zomim really, what were they trying to do? Kill a guy who's already killed? Let's say the Adam Zomim would accept their testimony. Yeah. We'd kill these guys, yeah? But we'd kill these guys anyway because of the second people's testimony.
Right.
So now you could start questioning, should we kill the Adam Zomim? In a normal case, what's a normal case of Adam Zomim? Two witnesses say A killed B in Toronto on Sunday, right? So what do they want to do? They want to get A killed. They want to get A killed. Based on their testimony, they want A to get killed, right? Group C, second group says, listen guys, you were not in Toronto, you were in Chicago. So what do? We kill those witnesses. Why? Because they wanted to unlawfully kill another Jew.
Yeah.
But here, what the case is, the second group says to group A, you couldn't have told, you were with us. But we're also saying, A did kill B on Monday. So what's going to happen at the end? Is A going to get killed?
Yeah.
By the testimony of the second group, right? So what would the A, even if Adam Zomim wouldn't have improved lives, what would they have done?
Killed someone properly.
killed someone properly. The guys should have killed someone, anyway.
Someone killed properly.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Couldn't they just be mistaken
about
what
they planned on doing? These guys were as good as dead. Yeah, let's read.
That can happen all the time.
Let's read. Okay. So he said, again, let's go back two lines. I'll start again. Two witnesses say, on Sunday, so-and-so killed so-and-so. And the second set of witnesses come from and they say, you couldn't have said that. You were thus in another city on Sunday. Ella, but what really did happen? Betray Bishop Zoharik Plonius and Nefesh. But really, the truth is, A killed B on Monday. Now listen even more than this. Velo od. Not only that, El Afilu Amru, let's say that second group of witnesses, they added, the addition said this. Amru Erev Shabbos Har Plonius and Nefesh. On Friday, A killed B.
So he couldn't have done it on Sunday because he was dead
right?
already.
So what's halacha? Neherogim, we kill everybody. I'm sorry.
That's a nice ending. I love it.
They died happily ever after.
Where's Rashi over here? What, there's an aleph over there. What's it say?
What you punish somebody for
say?
Killing
Hare
somebody.
Elu Narogim. They are killed. Why? They are killed. We kill the Adam's omen. Right. And we'll kill the other guy, too.
Not the correct witnesses.
Right.
No.
Not the we kill one. The lying witnesses.
Right.
And we'll kill the murderer.
The murderer.
Why? Listen to this. The be'idin at the komisadi, because at the moment that the first group testified, gavra lav bar kaklahu, the guy wasn't a dead man yet. In other words, the A, who they said A killed B, he was not a dead man yet. There was no testimony out against him yet. Remember, we do what they planned on doing. They planned on killing a guy. When they testified, just at that point, when they testified, would A, the guy who said is the killer, Would he
be killed? No.
Would he be killed because of other factors?
No.
No, because no other witnesses came forth. So they did want to kill, at that point, an innocent guy. Even though, in a moment, we'll find out he wasn't an innocent guy. That he was going to get killed anyway. Not only did people say he killed the next day, but even they say he really killed the day before. So really, as of Friday, really, really, he was a dead man there. But the point is, they never came and testified.
Right, because without that second set of witnesses,
understand.
He wouldn't be killed.
You can't kill witnesses if they want to kill a guy who's a dead man anyway. You know, if the other witnesses, let's theoretically, the second witnesses would already testify that the first guy killed somebody.
Oh.
You know?
So he's already a dead man.
Let's say the second pair didn't come after the first pair, they came before the first pair.
Right.
And they said that this guy killed somebody on Friday. Then before the basin finishes, a second pair says, you know what? We saw him kill him on Sunday.
Right.
Or better yet, the court says, okay, we're going to kill the guy. Now, second pair wins. Did you finish the case yet? Well, we just want to tell you something, that he killed the guy on Sunday. I guess, what are you talking about, he killed the guy on Sunday? You were with us on Sunday. How can you say that? Then they wouldn't be Adam Zolman.
Right. Because
at that point,
man.
These guys, he's already a dead man. But the our case is it didn't come to court yet. So even though what the group A, the first group said, at the end of the day, this guy's going to get killed. But when they did testify, we don't know that the guy was going to get, he was going to get killed yet.
Right.
So that what they really wanted to do was to kill a guy that shouldn't have been killed. And he wasn't yet with a death penalty yet. And that's what it says. It was a gavra lav bar katlahu. He is a man that is already a dead, not a dead man, because the testimony didn't come forth. Since it didn't come forth, they wanted to kill a guy, so the second witnesses say you're liars, and now they have to get killed. So it comes out, the killer gets killed, and the Adam Zolman killed. It was a waste of the guys trying to get the guy killed. It's like, you know, really cheaters don't prosper on that one. Okay? So that's the halacha. Yeah, you hear it? Very interesting halacha, no?
So they're talking about the same murder or different murders?
Same murderer and the same victim.
Same murder, same victim. So once they say they did it on Sunday, no, did it on Monday, but really did it on Friday. But the same guy was killed.
The second group are making two testimonies.
Right.
They're saying that the witnesses are liars.
Right.
And, by the way, A did kill B, but on a different day.
Right.
Because they couldn't say killed him on the same day, because he said these guys were out of town with us, you see.
Right.
Can't say, no, you were with us, but by the way, they didn't kill him on that day, because you said you were out of town with them. So it has to be a different day. Right? So not only if they say that he killed the day later, But even if he said they killed the day before, where really the guy's a dead man.
Right.
In God's eyes.
He hadn't been convicted.
But since in the court, he was not a dead man, so they were testifying a guy who was totally alive. That was totally alive. You can't kill the guy.
Does the intention matter? If the guy who came and said, you know, I saw him kill him on Sunday, and he's just mistaken about the day, and he has no intention of being an Eidim Zomim.
That's a very important thing you don't mistake in, and that's the whole idea of Eidim Zomim. With your rational, Howard, no Eidim Zomim will ever get killed. So, I didn't know it was Sunday. How can you ever prove Eidim Zomim? They say, you were with us on this day. Oh, I thought it was Sunday, not Monday. Then we'll never have a case of Eidim Zomim. When you testify in a court, the best thing, you know, there's no such thing as I wasn't sure. You know, only in secular courts guys say, you know, for perjury, oh, I was mistaken with my information. You know, they make a whole safer tour. They say, you know, this guy's getting killed because you better be darn sure you know what you're talking about. And don't come back a day later and say, oh, I didn't know it was Sunday, it was Monday. You know, they ask 7 critical questions. You know, exactly, placing you, time, date, color of the clothing. Remember, we did that in the Rambam, remember?
Yes.
Like, you know, I don't know. Anything you're not, are you 100% sure it was Sunday? You know, go check your time and set. You have exactly what you say. You can't turn around later and say, oh, well, really, I didn't know what day it was. You don't buy those excuses.
People, witnesses are mistaken all the time, though.
Not in a Jewish court. Not for this. You should just know, if you have the wrong day, you'll get killed if somebody says you lied.
So can witnesses be
so that either you're going to say, you know, I'd rather not testify. In other words, if you're not 100% sure of the day,
do not.
First of all, A, the guy's getting killed. And B, you could get killed. Yeah. It's not like a Goyish court, you know, where, it's just perjury, you know. Where do you have in a secular court perjury gets a death penalty?
No. Yeah, but the secular court compels you to testify, okay?
No, if you say, I'm not sure, you can always say, I'm not sure. If the best and says, what day was it? You say, I'm not sure. They'll say, fine, you're not a good witness. Stand aside. You know, thank you very much. But you can't help us.
So
the person has to be sure. Remember, the rule is, no testimony is ever accepted unless it can be zomified. You know, unless we only accept a testimony that can become zomified if he lied.
It can be discredited.
We don't want anybody saying, well, you know, I really didn't know. It has to be something where you're on the limb. If you're a liar, you'll get nailed and you'll get killed.
To be definite.
If it's something called, you know, I'm not sure, it was between Sunday and Monday he killed him. They're not going to accept the testimony. Because now, if the guy's a liar, we'll never be able to discredit. One guy will say, you're with us on Sunday, or I'll say, with us on Monday. I guess I did it in between. You know what I'm saying? You can't discredit a guy like that. Tell us exactly when he killed him. They ask you now, see the hour. Okay, maybe you could say, you know, 4:28, 4:30. But it, like they say, what's the sun over here, what's over there? It's got to be very precise. Okay, we'll stop at this point. We didn't get as far as I hope, but it's okay. And we'll continue more of this. So maybe we'll get to the Mishnah tomorrow. That was very nice tomorrow. Yeah, 1 minute break.
That was cool.
1 minute break.